Amen. Thank you, Mr. Weaver. We started out on this journey at about the beginning of the year, right after Christmas, and being alone. Could you imagine in the beginning of Genesis here, when Adam and Eve had made the choices that they made, and they had this place that was full of peace, every need that they could ever have in their entire life was met. There was no greater joy. There was no greater sustenance. And that one little thing, that one little choice that they made got them evicted and moved out of that peaceful place in the Garden of Eden. That would be a lonely time, right? I remember when I was a kid, how did they used to teach you to swim? Say that again. Right. They put you in the John boat, they rolled it out to the middle of the pond, and they chucked you in. I looked like a cat with four claws stuck into the side of that thing. I didn't want to go out there. But that's how they taught. Thank goodness for swimming classes now, right? And earplugs and nose plugs and all the other things we give these kids, they're good. They're really, really good. But here's a part where Adam and Eve had rowed to the middle of the pond, and God, we would think, was going to chuck them out of the boat and say, "My way wasn't good enough, try yours." God doesn't do that. God says, "My way's good enough, and I'm never, ever giving up on you." Not ever. Not to say there won't be some times that you got to learn to swim, but God's always going to be right there to help us, no matter what. Can you remember a time in your life when you walked out of that garden? When you stepped out? What time was that? Could have been in marriage, could have been in a job, could have someone else made choices that affected you to force you to make the choices you made, and then you step out there on that very lonely place by yourself. But in chapter 3, all of that took place. But right around the corner in chapter 4, Adam and Eve came right back together. God blessed them with the son and began to move towards a lineage that was going to expand His kingdom. But right, turn right around in chapter 6, chapters 5 and 6, and God's looking at His people again saying, "Good Lord, their choices are so wicked." He comes back and tries again. They make crazy choices. He comes back and tries again. They wander off. He comes back and tries again. And each time He sets this up, we keep falling on our noses. So what's He say this time? One, He reduced our life from 900 years to 120, right? And then later on, that even shortens a little more because He says, "How am I going to deal with this?" Well, He sent us Jesus. He sent us Jesus early. The ark is our Jesus. That's the prophecy that God put in front of us for the Jesus to come. The ark, our Jesus. You stepped out there into that place of loneliness. And I don't know of anybody who hasn't. I sure have. But have you stepped back on that place of great redemption? Have you stepped back on that place of great peace? Now, getting on there isn't a trip to the Bahamas. There's still some rowing to do, and there's still some decks to swab, and there's still some animals to feed. But that place of peace looks very different from Adam and Eve stepping out of the garden for the first time. The Lord said to Noah in 7, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I've found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. 7 pairs of every bird, male and female, to keep the various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I'll send rain on the earth for 40 days and nights. I'll wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded. This is a very faithful man, a very upright and righteous man. Can you imagine looking down upon the earth at all that you had created and you found one? Found one. What's that tell me? One is enough. One person that makes a choice to follow the calling, to follow the conviction that Christ has placed on your life and put that in front of you, and you're willing to step out on it, one is enough. One can change the scope of eternity. One can change the way your house operates. One can change the way your business or your school that you attend or the community that you live in or the county that you live in. It takes one person. That's all. But let's move back up to the top there for a second. It says, take with you seven pairs of every kind of clean animal. What's considered clean biblically? Those would be things with split hooves that chew their cud. Right? Anything that chews their cud. Those things are pleasing in the sight of the Lord. But look a little farther there. And one pair of every kind of what? Unclean animal. What's an unclean animal? Fangs? Teeth? Claws? Venom? And the Lord's saying, bring those on the boat too. Well, in our spirit, we sit there and say, the only good thing for an unclean animal is a hoe, right? You smack it with the hoe. That's the only good thing. Then you pitch it out of there. The Lord's saying, bring those on the boat too. Bring them on. There's going to be places in our life that we're challenged. There's going to be places in our life that we face temptation. Why? Because God needs a chance to boil out the slag and make that gold and make that metal a little bit finer. And He's going to use the clean and the unclean in that journey. But from 7 days from now, He's going to send rain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is at a point where they had never seen these kind of hardships. There was going to be a cleansing that took place for 40 days of all of these things on the earth. Lenten season, similar, 40 days. Are you prepared for that? Are you thinking about it this year? Are you setting aside a time in your life to be cleansed? Are you setting aside a little bit of your, maybe in the Word, maybe in the prayer, maybe in acts of kindness? Are you looking forward to that and setting up that time in your life when God can cleanse some things in your life? We all need it. You may have been a Christian for 40 years, but there may be something that you locked away in the closet a long time ago that you need to throw away. Why? Because we're human. We're just like Adam and Eve, taking that step out of the garden every now and then. Not all of our choices are good. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons and wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of the clean and the unclean, of the birds and all the creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark. And God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the flood waters came to the earth. I've seen replicas of pictures of the ark and the magnitude of its size. I've never actually traveled to the place and taken a look at it. But on all of those levels of the ark, there was provision made at each pen, at each cage, on each level, for all of the nourishment that was going to be needed there. All of the sustenance that they were going to have to provide for everything on that ark was inside of it. By the vision that the Lord had given Noah to build it by. You see, there's a lot of times we're not willing to step on the ark because we're thinking about all of the provisions of the world. We're thinking about all of the things that we have. In all actuality, everything we're ever going to need is on that ark. The bread of life is there. Your sustenance is there. That's my heartbeat. Well, actually, it's my hand hitting my chest. You have one too, I'm guessing. Right? How much control do you have over that? Seriously. How much control do you have? None. We have none. Everything that we need in this life and in the life to come is on that ark. Now, that doesn't mean you can make foolish choices all the time and expect your heart to be healthy. There are things that we should do. Love, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the seventh day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days. This is something that normally the world would tell you, look at God's wrath. He is pouring out His wrath on this world because He is so upset. And it's just the opposite. God is pouring out His love on this earth to cleanse it for the children that He loves. He loves us. He cares deeply for us. He's willing to make the tough choices. He's willing to make the hard choices to make sure His children can thrive. Are you doing that with your life? You see, you don't always have to wait for the flood. You don't always have to wait for a great sign or miracle from the heavens to make a choice. Are there things in your life that need a flood? Are there things in your life that need a cleansing? Are there things in your life that need Mop and Glow or Pine Sol? I love the way Pine Sol smells when I come home. But usually I've already made three steps across it and Misty's yelling at me. But there's parts of our life we need to do that with. And we can make a conscious effort to step forward in some of those things with God's help. With God's help, God's love. Do you see the depth of God's love? Adam and Eve had adultery and separation. They were removed from the garden. They come back together. He blessed them with the son to the lineage of Noah, to build an ark, to help save the world. We're no different. We're just like them. We're the sons and daughters of a risen Savior. A brother and sister to Christ. Are you walking in that? Do you see yourself as that? Or do you walk right out of the church on Sunday morning and put it all behind you? And put it all up on the shelf and come back next week to pick it up again? And say, I'll leave that there so I don't forget where I put it. Right? Take it with you. Take your faith with you in every part of your life. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock, every creature that moves along the ground, every bird, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that had the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going were male and female of every living thing, and God had commanded Noah. The Lord shut him in. He gave Noah great authority over things on the earth in those days. Right? I get two cows in the barn, they lose their mind. He's got a ship full of animals. He has a ship full of creatures. And he's got his entire family in there with him. Who have you brought on this journey with you? There was a time in my life I wasn't equipped to bring anything along on my journey. It just needed to be me. And I needed to sit in the seat and I needed to hear. And I needed to go home to the closet and I needed to get on my knees with no one around. And I needed to be in the Word. And I needed to give God a chance to shape me. But you see, Noah's not at that point, and neither are a lot of you. Who are you bringing along on your journey with you? Is it all about you? Are you trying to fill your boat up with all kinds of things? That journey wouldn't have meant as much if it was just Noah on there. Why? Because it wouldn't have had the ability to reproduce. It wouldn't have had the ability to become something great. It wouldn't have had the ability to change the scope of eternity and move throughout the earth. You need people in this journey with you. You need people to come alongside of you. No matter how strong you are on this, there's going to be a time and a place when you need to be encouraged by someone else. Be humble in that. Be teachable in that. The blood of Jesus. The people on that ark, the animals on that ark, they were saved from the wrath and the love that was about to come, that was about to hit the earth. Have you stepped onto the ark? Or have you stepped off of it? Or has your grandpa thrown you off of it? Chapter verse 17, for 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. It rose greatly on the earth, and all the mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose, covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. And every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped clean. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. The flood of our life sometimes seems to go on much longer than 150 days. The turmoil that we face here, the challenges that tend to be around us, sometimes you sit there and say, boy, 150 days would be a blessing. I'll take that. For some of you, it may have been years. For some of you, it may have been the pains of one marriage moving to the next, the pains of where your children are at or in their faith right now. God's in control. If you're on the ark, you have hope. If you're on the ark, you have a future. If you're on the ark, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. His rod leads us. The rod in the Scriptures was something that the shepherds used to walk with to keep them steady. It was also a weapon that they used to protect the people, the flock around them with. But it was also used as a scribe to write things down, to hand it on to the next generation. The bread of life simply comes from the Word of God. And the way it feeds us, the way it nurtures us, and the way it shapes our life. Not one person here can be holy without Jesus. Don't care how hard you try. His love saves us. His love saves us. We can't control that heartbeat. His blood washes us and makes us new again. It makes us clean. Misty has in her cupboard a saran wrap that is red. And if I hold that saran wrap up in front of you all, the only thing I can see is you in a very funny collar. God's going to look at us through that funny color one of these days. He's going to look right through the blood of Jesus and see each one of us the way we need to be. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because each one of us are going to need it. Each one of us are going to walk out of the garden and fall on our face. Each one of us will hopefully move back into chapter 4 in oneness. One thing's for sure, we don't have to keep falling. We may have to keep getting back up, but we don't have to keep falling. Are you on the ark? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? And are you allowing Him to be the Lord of your life? Are you giving Him an opportunity in the Word and in His songs to change the way you think, to change the way you speak, to change the way you live? That's why He did what He did. That's why God sent Him to save us and to redeem us and to make us new again. Are you on the ark? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. The opportunity to be a part of this great journey, Lord. Father God, we thank You for the life that You've given us, for the challenges that You've put in front of us, for the redemption You've shown us. Lord, when we needed it, You helped us back to our feet. You taught us how to walk again. You taught us how to love, how to show mercy. You showed us what great forgiveness was, Lord. Teach us how to extend those things to the world around us. Help us find healing in fellowship. Help us find healing in a body of believers that encourages us, that doesn't look at our past, Father God, that sees our future with You together. Lord, is there something in our life that we need 40 days of rain with? Is there a place we need cleansed, Lord? We thank You for the ark. We thank You for Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. Lord, we praise You. We thank You for grace in places that we never seem to get right. Praise You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.